John chapter 8 and verse 44. The Bible said, "Ye of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." Now you can be seated this morning. As we read in that, in the prior part of this chapter, we find as Jesus is dealing in that with the scribes and the Pharisees of his days, those that were religious, and those that claimed fathership and kinship and that to Abraham. As you find, they bring a woman that is caught in the very act of adultery unto Jesus, and they ask him and said, "Well, Moses in the law said that we're to stone her, but what do you say?" And so the Lord Jesus said, "He that is without sin, cast the first stone." And so from the greatest to that to the least, they drop the stones and they walk away. And the Lord Jesus looks up and sees that woman there and says, "Where are thine accusers?" And she said, "I have none." And he said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Ain't that a wonderful passage and that of Scripture? But by the time we get to verse 12, as the Lord Jesus is telling them that he is the light, they begin, and he is the light of life, and they begin to accuse him of bearing record of himself, and that his record was not true. And Jesus goes on to tell them over here in the latter part of the chapter that if they didn't believe in him, that they were going to die in their sins. And that's true today. Listen, if you don't trust the Lord Jesus Christ and that to be your Savior, you're going to die in your sins. Amen. And stand before just an almighty God, unsaved, and that set for judgment and for hellfire. He told them that they didn't know the Father. Some believe, though, even though these religious crowd did not believe, some that stood there that heard him in verse 30 as he spake these words, many believed on him. And he began to tell them there in verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You go over to verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Boy, ain't that wonderful Scripture, amen. And they begin to say that we're of Abraham's seed and we've never been in bondage. Well, that was a lie. Listen, they'd been in bondage many times. Once down in the land of Egypt for 400 years, they served in that heart bondage and rigor according to the book of Exodus. Many times in the book of Judges, they were brought under bondage. And here Jesus is telling them the same thing, that they need to be made free. Let me say today that if you're unsaved, you're held bondage in that by Satan, amen, and the sins of this life, and you need to be made free, amen. Hey, living free is a great thing. I remember what Brother Jim White said. "Hey, I'd rather live in a grass hut, eating out of wood with wooden spoons and wooden bowls. I know that I'm free, amen, than to have shackles about me and to be in the Buddhist mansion and have all the money in the world and not be free." Listen, you can have all the religion in the world. You can have it all, friend. But if you ain't got Jesus, you ain't got nothing. And you're still in bondage and that to Satan. But I want to look at what the Lord Jesus said in verse 44. He said, "You of your father, the devil." That's who I want to look at for just a little while, is a look at the devil. I was going to look this morning when I started studying this message. I wanted to look at all the names of the devil. Now, we call the devil a lot of names, don't we? Call him old Slowfoot. The Bible calls him in the book of the Revelation chapter 20. I said, "You laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Thank God for that. Yeah. But the devil has many and that names through the Bible. He has many jobs, don't he? You ever think about Satan? You ever think about the devil and what he did? Let me say this. He is more than a figment of your imagination. And he is more than just an oppressive spirit, amen. He is a living being that is out and that to destroy you if he can, amen. And you need to get that. And I'm going to deal with that some more here in just a little bit. But I want you to look. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he hinders us in our job. Zechariah chapter 3, he resists us in doing our job. You look in Ephesians chapter 6, when it talks about the whole armor of God, he is the one that we fight against. 1 Peter 5 and 8 calls him our adversary. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 tells us that he can be transformed into an angel of light. And so we find that Satan takes on many forms and many actions today to do a few things. I want to look at him for just a minute or two, God being our helper. But I want to look at what the Lord Jesus told him right here about Satan, about the devil. The first thing that I want to look at is what he said right here in the latter part of this verse. The Bible said he was a murderer from the beginning, and bold not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Can I say that first of all, that I want you to see about the devil is he's a liar.
Amen.
I want you to understand he never, and that tells the truth. Boy, wouldn't it be a wonderful day when the world and even God's people could understand that he is a deceiver. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He's a deceiver. He's never going to tell you the whole truth over there. Do you know that? He never will. Hey, from the very beginning, the Lord Jesus said that from the very beginning, he abode not in the truth. Hey, listen, the very first mention of Satan, take your Bible and go to the book of Genesis chapter 3. I want you to look with me right here in Genesis chapter 3. Satan gets out on the scene right here. He's called the serpent. And in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Most of y'all know this. The very first thing he wanted Eve to do, and that was to question the word of God. Hey, you know, the very first thing he wants you to do is question the word of God. He wants child of God to question the word of God. He wants the sinner to question the word of God to say, hey, do I really need to get saved? Do I really need to trust Jesus as my personal Savior? Hey, do I really need to do what the Bible says? And I say, yes, you do. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to look. He said, yea, if God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Let's go back and look at what God said. Look much back a chapter in chapter 2 and verse 17. And look what God said. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, now pay attention to what your Bible says, thou shalt surely die. All right, the first question, the first line that Satan said, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. I want you to look that first of all, Satan started this conversation. The woman did not start the conversation, but Satan did. He's always going to come along and want you to question what God is saying. He always wants you to question his word. I heard somebody here a while back. I say, well, you know, them Bible believers, and I'm sure these are supposed to be saved people. I said, they're going to believe the book even when somebody else has got an experience. You're right. Amen. I'm going to believe the book over your experience. I'm going to believe the book over my experience. You know why? My experience may not have been right, but that book's right. Amen. She's got an experience right here. But my soul, can you imagine? Here the devil is talking to her, and here's the problem that she got into. She began to carry on a conversation with him. And I know most of y'all know this. She began to try to match wits and that with the devil and begin to tell him what God had said. In verse 2, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. God didn't say nothing about touching it. But anyway, that's probably a good thing. She probably didn't need to touch it, but God didn't say nothing about touching it. I want you to pay attention to what verse 4 says. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. What does verse 17 of chapter 2 say? For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. John chapter 8 and verse 44, the Lord Jesus said that he was a murderer from the beginning, bow not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. He speak the lie, speak of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The very first time we see Satan and that step out on the scene, when we see him on this earth, he's lying to the woman. I tell you, he'll lie to you too. He will. He'll tell him. He told him he got her to believe the lie. He said, look, you ain't going to die. Your eyes will be opened. You'll know good and evil. You'll be as gods. He told her what she wanted to hear. I'm gonna be. You need to be careful. He'll tell you what you want to hear. He'll tell you what you want to do is okay. And it's going to get you into trouble. And it got Adam and Eve into trouble. You know, Eve, she was the one that's in deception according to the New Testament. Adam, he done it willingly. I mean, listen, Eve, she takes that apple, if you'd let me say that, over there to him, that piece of fruit, and said, man, this is good. You need to eat it. He knew what he was doing when he done it. But he got her to believe the lie. She begins to look at this tree just a little differently. How the Bible said right here, for God doth know the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. No doubt their eyes were open. No doubt that friend, that they knew good and evil at that point. Hey, they knew they were naked. Listen, the very first form of religion stepped out on the scene when they made themselves aprons out of fig leaves. Hey, they were trying to cover their own nakedness. They couldn't do it. Hey, that's what religion will do to you. It'll try to make you cover your own sin. But you can only have your sin washed away, and that by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to look. So here they are. And when the woman saw, there was the problem, that the tree was good for food and that it's pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. She saw that it was good for food. She saw that it was going to do what? That it was pleasant to the eyes. And then it's going to make one wise. Hey, listen, that's no different than what little John said in 1 John chapter 2. For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. Hey, he snookered her. He lied to her, and she bought the lie. Can I tell you, he's no different today.
Amen.
He'll come to you. He'll lie to you. Listen, he'll lie to you about sin. If you're saved, he'll lie to you and tell you, hey, that sin ain't going to hurt you. That ain't going to bother you. It'll be a good time. It'll be a great time. But listen, he never shows you what's going to happen.
Amen. That's right.
I mean, he got her to believe that everything was going to be all right. Some of y'all around here been saved long enough, been preached to enough, that you ought to know what's going to happen when you sin. You ought to know that there's a coming judgment. Ought to know that there's a chastening hand of God. Ought to know that this stuff's going to come to pass and you can't get away with it. Amen. Listen, if anything, hey, one of the very first things that they lost in the garden was their relationship and that with God the Father.
Amen.
Hey, you sin, you're going to ruin your relationship with God the Father. Go read Psalms 51. David had sinned. David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. David ended up having Uriah killed. Had all these other men killed in the process. And it ruined his relationship and that with Father. Hey, no. In Psalms chapter 51, he begins to admit his sin and confess his sin and that unto the Lord. And he comes down there and he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Some of y'all ain't got no joy in your salvation because sin's in your life. You bought the lie of the devil and it's just ruining your relationship with the Lord. The prodigal, when he left home in Luke chapter 15, he cut all ties with home. He cut ties with the father. He cut ties with his friends. He cut ties with the family. And he ends up all the way down there in the far country as far as he could go having a good time. You see, all them stories you tell, preacher, all the time that the Bible tells, I know all of them, and you're listening to the devil. You're listening to the devil because he's telling you, them are just stories. Them are just stories. I'm taking show you a preacher right now. If he ain't in drug rehab, he needs to be in drug rehab. He got so far away from God. Take you and show you to him. Or you to him, or him to you, ever how you want to look at it. And I'm telling you, you get away from God, you believe the lies of the devil, and it's going to get you, dear saint of God. Hey, listen, you believe, well, it ain't going to hurt me. Listen, you're believing the lie of the devil. Hey, sin's always got a reaping day. Sin's always, if you let me say this, got a payday somewhere down the road. Galatians 6 and 7, be not deceived, God's not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Nobody will find out about your sin. Ain't that one that the devil tells you? Go ahead and do it. Nobody will find out. Hey, listen, when Eve partook of this fruit, and Adam did too, and you know the Bible said in verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. You know what? You may think you can hide it, but you can't hide it. God come a-walking through the cool of the day. Looking for Adam, looking for his creation, the one that he had created to love him and serve him. The Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 32, but if you will not do so, behold, you've sinned against the Lord. And be sure your sin will find you out. You can't hide it. Satan will lie to you and tell you that you can hide your sin and nobody will find out. But I'm going to tell you, you'll always get that sin. It may take a little while. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. For some of you, it jumps right out there. You can't hide nothing. Huh? You know why some of you can't hide nothing? Because it's all over your face.
Amen.
Can't hide nothing. I mean, some of you is good at having a stone face and a stone heart. But I'm going to tell you, there's still a God in heaven that knows what you're up to. Amen. Knows what you're up to. It's no mistake that you're here, and it's no mistake this message is being preached. Huh? Listen, you ought to know better. You ought to know better. Hey, he'll lie to you about what the preacher's saying. He'll lie to you about what the Word of God says. He'll tell you that preacher don't know. That Sunday school teacher don't know. Hey, the Word of God don't pertain to you. He's lying to you this morning. It pertains to all of us. A lot of us get a complex that, or something we believe that we're special, and the Word of God, it don't apply to us. We're special. He's lying to you. Hey, you ought to know better this morning. Bible tells us over there now, he's talking about forgiveness in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. But he said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Hey, you ought to know that he's going to come. You ought to know that he's going to lie to you. You ought to know that he's going to try to get you to sin. We preached on that not too long ago on temptation, probably a couple of weeks ago, on how the devil tempts us to sin. But he lies to you. He'll come and he'll jump up here on your shoulder. Remember Brother Ted saying that. I miss him, by the way. Amen. Brother Ted. And he'll jump up on your shoulder and he'll lie to you. He'll whisper in your ear. And he'll tell you things that you want to hear. Huh? Listen, saying to God, you better stay away from sin. Because he'll lie to you. You know he'll lie to you about your service? He will. Boy, I got to think about this. I ain't even thought about this until right at Sunday school was ending. But you know what he'll do? He'll lie to you about your service. He'll tell you that you're doing no good. Why even bother with it? You know, why do you think the Bible tells us in Galatians 6 and 9, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not? Now, why is that? But you know, listen, if you've ever made a garden, we use a garden for an example. If you've ever made a garden, then you know there's a lot of work that goes into it from the time that you put the seed in the ground till the harvest time.
Amen.
What do you mean there's a lot of work in it? Well, man, I hate one, and I don't think they fit my hands all that well, but a hoe, I hate a hoe. Man, I hate a hoe. Man, hoe and backer patch, man. I'm glad they learned how to spray stuff.
Yeah,
amen.
Baby.
Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. Well, listen, I shouldn't have made that example. But anyway, if you're in the garden, and I can remember when when I worked a public job, and not only was I working a public job, pastoring here, and I was wiring houses on the side on top of that. And I got the bright idea that I was going to plant a garden. I didn't have no time to make no garden. But I made a garden. I don't know, it might have had four or five rows in it, and we had some corn, made plants, and what else did we grow? You remember what else we growed? Some cantaloupe. I think we growed some cantaloupe or something like that, and a few odds and ends. And I told my wife, I said, look, we're wiring this house. I don't have time to handle this garden. Now, you're going to have to take care of it. Now, I would have thought that she would have bucked on me. But she went out there to the building the night that I left and had to go down, and we were finishing up a house, and I come back in that evening and shine the lights out there from the truck over there, and it looked like you'd run a garden tiller through that thing. She took that hoe and suckered everything out. She knew what she was doing, but she said, that's the last time I'm going to do it. It's the last time we grow the garden too. I ain't growed one since. You know, there's work to be had in between from the time you plant the seed to the time that you get to pull the corn off the stalk. You got to get a hoe in your hand sometimes and go out there and start chopping morning glories out and chopping weeds out. Sometimes you got to do a little water, and when it gets dry, you got to make sure that things is getting watered the way that they need. And all that takes work, you see. And so what happens is we get a little lax in our work, or maybe it gets a little harder, it gets a little tiresome, and Satan again, he jumps up here on our shoulder, and he'll begin to lie to you, and he'll begin to tell you you ain't doing any good. And we miss it a little bit because we look at that garden every day. And after we see that little corn jump out of the ground, and we think, well, boy, it ain't going to do a whole lot. And then it keeps growing. We think, well, it ain't going to do a whole lot. But yet it keeps growing, don't it? And as long as that you'll go out there and hoe them weeds and pull the dirt up on it and give it some fertilizer along the way and water it along the way and make sure that, listen, we can't make the sun shine, but planted it in a place where the sun's going to shine. Hey, you know what'll happen? One day there'll be a reaping day. Don't let Satan lie to you about your service. He'll tell you that you're doing no good, but just stay after it. Just stay after it. Just stay after it. It tickled my heart to hear Jeremiah tell the other day, and when he was preaching about his uncle getting saved, and off one of them tracts, he'd give him one of them tracts that we print here at the church. That may not have done nothing for you, but it done a lot for me. Hey, it done a whole lot for me. Not only do tracts work, but friend, hey, we spent time in labor and to write them things and to print them things, and you always wonder, is it going to do any good? But he'll lie to you about your service. Hey, listen, he'll tell you, listen, that nobody cares. Somebody cares, I guarantee you.
Amen.
Somebody cares. Well, hey, listen, nobody's going to miss you. If you stop doing it, I'll guarantee you somebody will miss you. So somebody else will pick it up and take it on. You don't know that. Hey, there's been a lot of churches close their doors over the years because folk become unfaithful, and there was nobody else there that was faithful to carry it on. You know what they done? They locked her up, padlocked the door, and they're still closed today. You may be the one. Don't let the devil lie to you about your service. He not only lies in that to the child of God, to the saint, and that about sin. He not only lies to the child of God, to the saint, and that about their service, but then he lies in that to sinners about salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He lies to sinners all the time, don't he? Huh? He blinds folk in that of the gospel. He don't want them to hear the truth, nor to know the truth. But you know what he tells them? What do you think he tells sinners? I know what he tells sinners. First of all, he tells sinners that they're too good. You're okay. You don't need to be saved. I am determined that there's people that believe that. They honestly believe, I believe there's folks sitting on Baptist pews right now that believe that they're okay because they have lived a good moral life. Morals will send you to hell. Say amen right there. Hey, listen, morals will send you to hell. They're good to have. They're a good thing to live by. But they're nothing to die by.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, morals is good. There's nothing wrong with them, but they're going to send you to hell if you're leaning on them. Hey, listen, you're not good. The Bible said in Romans chapter 3, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Who is the glory of God? The Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, when you begin to compare yourself and that to His righteousness, to His glory, to His life that He spent here upon this earth, friend, we're nothing compared to Him. He lies to folk about their goodness and their righteousness. I hate Him. I hate Him. I got it pinned out. As a matter of fact, right out here, and I don't know when I wrote it, but out here in the margin of my Bible, next to John 8 and 44, I've got wrote out, I hate the devil, with an exclamation point. I hate old Slewfoot. I hate him. He's my adversary. He is against me, and I hate him. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're lost and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He's lying to you and telling you, you don't need to get saved today. You've got plenty of time. Why is another lie in it?
Yep.
He lies to folk and tells them, hey, you've got plenty of time. You can just, you know, live your life now and get saved later. Bible said in James chapter 4, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We're here today, gone tomorrow. We're just a blip in time. And we're just here for a little while. Job put it like this in Job 8 and 9. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. As the sun rises and as the sun sets, the shadow just goes away, don't it? It comes forth and it goes away. That's how quick life really is. That's how quick it is. I'm 42 years old. And I used to hate to hear my daddy talk about this. He would say, son, if I could back up and go live them days over, I would. Talking about if we could live in them younger days. And I remember when he'd talk about that, I thought, man, he is crazy. But you know, the older I get, the more I understand that, what he was saying. Well, if we could just back up. Why, we've went and got old, ain't we? Went and got older. I've turned around. Me and my wife's been married. Seems like we graduated high school just the other day. Some days. The other day, it seems like a lifetime ago. Well, some days, it seems like that me and her just started dating and graduated high school and just got married. And come this October, we'll be married 23 years. And I mean, time has got away. And so you know what happens? You turn around and you know what's happened? Half your life has gone.
Right.
Gone. Just like a vapor. You blow your on a cold morning and you go outside and you blow that breath and you just see it for a split second and it's gone. Job said, man, it's more than the trouble. As the sparks fly upward, have you ever seen a spark fly up out of a fire? Hey, it burns bright when it comes out of the fire, and then all of a sudden it dims, and then it's gone. That's life. You don't have plenty of time to get saved. Because you know why? You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed the rest of this day. You're not guaranteed it. Hey, some folk here in the church, they've buried folk here lately. Now, some of them's been young. Hey, you don't have to be old to die.
Amen.
I mean, you don't have to be old to die. Hey, freak accidents happen. Disease happens. Hey, listen, you could just draw your life's breath. Hey, David said there's one step betwixt me and death. Hey, you could be here one day and gone the next. You don't know that. You need to get saved. Devil's lying to you, telling you that you got plenty of time. But you don't have plenty of time. Remember how short my time is. Wherefore, Hast thou made all men in vain? David's talking to the Lord over there. And he says, remember how short my time is. It's just short. He's lying to you. Lying to you. If you've never trusted Jesus, he's lying to you. Tell you that you've been too bad. Well, ain't nobody too bad to get saved. Amen. What did Paul say? This is faithful saying, worth of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Luke chapter 19 and 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Another point, he tells us over there at one time that he came not to call the righteous but sinners unto repentance. And so Satan's lying to you and telling you that you're too bad. You can't do nothing too bad. Listen, if God is dealing with your heart,
amen,
and you know you need to get saved, why don't you come? He's a liar. But I want you to look real quick at what else Scripture said. In John 8:44, ye of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He said, well, he ain't my father. He ain't mine at all. I want you to understand something that the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Timothy. The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Timothy that he will take you captive at his own will. Yeah, you belong to him. If you're unsaved and you're lost, you belong to him. But I want you to look what he said. He said, you're the father of the devil, unless your father's you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning. You know what the word murder means? Murder is different than killing. Murder means to kill a human with a premeditated malice. Can I tell you that? Let me say this today, that if you're saved, Satan is trying to kill you. He is. He's after you. He really is. He's a, be sober, be vigilant. 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If he cannot devour you in sin, he wants to devour your life ever how he can. Because if he can get you to shut up, then you're just one less person he has to worry about. I'm determined some people are never afflicted by the devil, never bothered by the devil, because they're not living for the Lord.
Amen.
But here's the thing. He's a murderer, and he wants to kill you. You know the one way that he really kills people? Sin. Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death. Can I tell you today, that applies to saved people and unsaved people alike. The wages of sin is death. What did he say in the book of James? I believe it is chapter 1. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Hey, if you're saved, sin will kill you. He is the instigator of sin. He is the tempter of sin. He's the instigator of sin. He is the drive behind sin. We've seen that from the very beginning. What do you mean it'll kill you, preacher? Why didn't it kill Eve? Hey, they were living perfect, was going to live eternally, and they ended up dying somewhere along the way. Joshua chapter 7, did that sin over there not kill Achan? His sin killed him. Look in the book of Acts with Ananias and Sapphira. They're telling Peter and those disciples over there, we're giving so much, or we're giving all that we got. And they were holding a little bit back. And at two different times, Peter said, you're lying to God. And another time he said, you're lying to the Holy Spirit. So we see a good action of the Trinity right there.
Amen.
Or two parts of the Trinity. He said, you're lying. And both Ananias and Sapphira, before they could finish, or right at when they finished what they're saying, they both dropped dead and was buried. What killed them? Their sin. Now, our sin may not kill us right away, but if you keep messing with it, if you keep going, it's going to get you. I'm determined that these young men, young ladies, men and women are laying in the graveyard today. I've been buried. I had to sit under the little tent their family did, because they was drinking, and that drink put them in the grave. Say folk. Say folk. You get to mess around, and I'm just using this for an example, with drinking, it's going to kill you.
Amen.
Oh, I'm smarter than it is. Why, you're dumb.
Amen.
What was it? Wine is mocking, strong drink is a raging. He deceived thereby is not wise. Hey, people, we get behind a... We've seen it right down here. I know I use that example from time to time. When the old road was still there, when it made them sharp curves down here to get out on the highway before they redone all that. That boy run off right out here in the drive right down here in the lower part of the church yard down here because he was drunk and they were running too fast to make these curves down here and end up hitting a truck head on. Now, that boy died, didn't he, Jeff? You stood there covering him up on top of the car with a sheet. Why did he die? I don't know about his salvation, but I do know this, that it was that drink that killed him. Saved or lost, it don't matter. You get to messing with sin, it's going to kill you. You keep messing with it and see what happens. And I tell you, if you're lost, that sin's going to kill you. There's been a lot of lost folk. That sin's got them. Snuffed out. It's got them. Satan wants you, listen to me, Satan wants you to die in your sin.
Amen.
He wants you to die lost. He knows his end, and he wants your end to be the same as his end. Judgment and eternal lake of fire. If you're not saved, it'd be a good day to come and get saved. Let's bow our heads across the house. Satan's a liar. He'll lie to you. Let's get the first invitation, boys. He'll lie to you. He said, you of your father the devil, unless you follow you do. You following Satan today? You following Satan? Now, he's been some folk come and got some help in the middle of the choir singing. What about you? What about you? You listen, you say, see, the problem is some of you are going to be so prideful that you won't admit it. You know what got Satan kicked out of heaven? You know what got Lucifer kicked out of heaven? Because of his pride. The Bible said in the book of Ezekiel that he was the anointed cherub. And the Bible said that there was iniquity found in him. And that iniquity, according to the book of Isaiah chapter 14, I believe it is, was that pride. He said, I'll sin as high as God. I'll be higher than he is. Pride. Your sin this morning is pride that you won't even admit that you're being lied to. You won't even admit that Satan's telling you these things. And it's going to get you. Just like that. Hey, dear saint of God, don't be messing in sin. He's lying to you, telling you that it ain't going to get you, but it will. Hey, dear sinner person, don't believe him when he tells you you got plenty of time. Don't believe him when he tells you that you're too good. You're not too good. Don't believe him when he says you're too bad. You're not too bad. The Lord Jesus came to save sinners, went to Calvary to die for me and you. He hung on a cross, the Bible said, between two thieves. And at the beginning of the crucifixion, both those men reviled on him. And somewhere in between all that, one of those men changed their mind. And as them two thieves was talking to each other, that one said that we receive our just and due rewards, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That man was guilty of hanging on the cross. That thief was. But Jesus saved him anyway. He'll save you this morning if you're lost. Revelation 3:20, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Is he knocking on your heart's door? He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. How about it this morning? Don't believe Satan. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ. When he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help right now. during this invitation time. You know the need. Lord, I have no doubt these folk here lost needs to get saved. I pray that you spoke to their heart. Please draw on their heart to come and get saved. Lord, there may be some of your people that's been dabbling, messing around in sin. And Lord, it ain't none of my business why someone might come to the altar, but let them come and do business with you. Lord, before that chastening hand comes, I pray that they'll move this morning. Would you move during this invitation for these things in Jesus' name? Amen. They stand this morning, cross the house, we give